make my video CNC Music Factory?
I don't know how old you think I am, but no.
Oh, the show started and it scared me. I legit got scared by our intro because I wasn't paying attention to the time. That was a jump scare. Who needs horror games when you have the Best of Five intro? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Best of Five show. The last episode of the year 2020. Congrats, we made it. We made it.
We still got two more days. We still got two more days and change.
Well, Best of Five made it. And as long as my PC doesn't explode, Best of Five has made it.
You've just cursed yourself.
Probably, but that's okay.
Congratulations.
Tonight on the show, we're going to have some fun. We're gonna take a look at Twitter. We're going to talk about New Year's. We're going to talk about KI World Cup. We're going to talk about how Strive is basically just teasing everybody, those jerks. And they didn't release a trailer on a Tuesday. They're going to release it on a Thursday like a bunch of jerks. And if you thought Grand Blue was the big daddy of all gacha games, boy, were you wrong. Because there's a new game coming in the horizon. So my name is Elon. I am joined here, as always, by the amazing, the main squeeze, the Steve, Ace King, Off Sujurik. And
how's it going?
Right, I forgot to let you have your line. I apologize. I'm already screwing up. And
I don't have a line in the opening. I just have my goodnight candidate at the end.
Well, you also say what's up all the time.
Last episode, he does say what's up a lot.
Yeah, and then
also say shout outs.
Nah, you don't.
Hey, Sharpie, can you move the mic closer to you? I think we're getting
I
more
can.
Of the room. Yeah, now yeah. We can hear you. And we have the beautifully multi-talented powerhouse of content and marketing, Sharpie.
Yeah, I'm the Oprah of esports. Yeah, that's me. I'm that is officially what I am, and I'm ending 2020 being the Oprah of esports, so everyone has to hold that.
So everybody, we have a surprise since Sharpie is the Oprah of esports. If you check underneath your computer chairs or your couches,
y'all got hitboxes! Congratulations! Congratulations on your new hitboxes. That's right, we couldn't afford a Razer or Mad Cat sponsorship, but y'all got hitboxes. I don't care if you don't use them, that's tough. Except for you, Steve. We had it on good information that you're actually a grappler main, so I'm going to have to ask you to vacate the premises.
No,
security?
I'm not a... Look. Yo, you got it mixed up. I'm a weirdo. But not because I'm a grappler main, it's because I use an octo gate. See, I understand where the confusion could come from, but no, I don't mess with the grapplers, man.
I don't know.
That ain't my life. I ain't about that life. I ain't about that life.
All right, these are pretty serious allegations, and this is a very controversial topic, so Steve, we're going to have to ask you to leave the building. All right, bye, Steve.
Wow.
As I said tonight on the show, we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff. I'm just kidding. Welcome back, Steve. So for those of you that can't find your hitboxes, you just have to look harder. We left it inside of your house. If you tuned into the show, they are in your house right now, or apartment, or wherever it is that you reside. However, I think it's time for us to get into the show. I know. Everybody having a hitbox now is shocking, but we'll have to drill past it. Steve, do we have a recap?
We don't really have a recap tonight because most of the ongoing tournament series were dark for the holiday season. There is one tournament that I wanted to give a shout out to, and this is via Doc Fugu. Let me switch up. Let me get that technology. Bam!
Whoa, is that a tenderloin?
That is not a tenderloin. That is a beef tongue.
Oh, even better. I'm a fan.
So there is going to be a Japanese Tekken stream tomorrow/tonight for those of us in the West. And the winner gets a beef tongue.
That's pretty badass.
Now, that's you got to give those prizes somehow. I mean, you had the tournament last year that Giuna was involved in, where winner got like rice and like 10-pound bag of rice and whatnot. You had obviously the Smash tournament at Evo Japan, where the winner got a controller. But yeah, we tongue sports now.
I'd like to apologize on behalf of Best of Five to everyone that's listening right now to this podcast for Steve's joke there. It was very tongue in cheek, and we apologize.
Yep, I agree. Anyway, now I think we
can we give a birthday shout out to Ryu Dragon.
That's where I was going. So everybody in the chat, I want you to type Kappa, and then two forward slashes. It looks like this. I'm gonna type here Kappa space two forward slashes. That's a little Kappa guy giving him a round of applause. So everybody, give a round of applause to Ryu Dragon for existing for another year, especially surviving this year. You know, It's been a rough
year. Tough year.
It's been challenging.
It's been.
That's accurate. Surprisingly accurate.
Now, what I want to know is, what is the winner? Is the tongue already pre-cooked, or is it like a raw tongue? Because
I would assume it's a raw tongue, because okay. I mean, you can go in a whole bunch of different directions with it.
Dude, smoke it. Smoke it. I mean, I'm Jewish, so I'm partial to a tongue sandwich, right? Like along with some brisket pastrami, and a little bit of chopped liver. There used to be this deli in Scranton where I used to live. I used to go there almost every day. I used to get a hot number five.
You lived in Scranton?
Yes. That's where I'm from. I grew up around Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, after I moved here to the United States. Started hanging out in Scranton, then went to school near Philly. But anyway, there used to be a hot number five. And the funny thing is, I went back to Scranton after I moved to Texas. So it was 3 years after I had moved away. I went back and I ordered a hot number five, and then the owner comes out and he's like, "He's back!" I think I'm the only person that ever orders a hot number five over there. But it's pastrami, roast, corned beef, and tongue. And then in between, there's like a little bit of chopped liver. It's really good. Sorry, I'm reading the chat.
I'm upset that these Japanese players are getting paid in food, and I have to literally wait 4 months for my winnings from any tournament before I can buy groceries. Like, yeah. I don't care about cash anymore. Just buy my groceries. Like, what?
Yeah, and you know, there's one other thing we didn't mention too is that Hitbox Hungry Box won a match and got a free crab.
Boo.
You know,
that moment somehow did not win worst moment of 2019.
I was actually there at that pound. I was streaming at that pound, and it was a thing. It was, I remember when it started trending, and Gamer was like not in any way, shape, or form happy. He was so upset. We had called security and the racetrack. Mm-hmm. Like, we were trying to find the guy, and the dude was like permabanned. It was a whole thing. Like, yeah. it was a big deal.
Well, I mean, look, it's not cool to throw at players, right? But looking back on it, it is pretty funny. Even though
I'm not gonna say it wasn't funny, I'm not gonna say I wasn't trying very hard not to laugh, but I am gonna say it was a super huge mess for all the people that unfortunately had to organize it, and even more of a mess. My condolences once again to that Krabs family.
I know, dude.
Yeah,
imagine,
like, he didn't even get thrown to freaking Mewtwo King Hungry Box. Come on, you know, not even Leffen. Jeez.
My favorite part of that entire saga was just before it happened, someone tweeted out like, "Man, this is such a Maryland thing. Someone got a seat specifically for a crab." And they tweeted out a picture of a crab in the crowd in that seat. And it turned out to be that crab.
I don't know. Smashers are children. They'll grab anything that's near them. You know, they're like toddlers. You can't leave them around. Can't leave them around open fires. You can't leave them around outlets. You can't leave them around, you know, anything with wired gameplay. They're allergic to it. It's dangerous, you know? It's really bad.
So Blue says that's one for the swear jar. Who cursed? Was it me?
Yes, that was me.
Oh, it was you? That was me. All right, yeah. That's one for the swear
jar. I'm sorry,
Steve. We're all going to go for if we start doing this. Anywhoozle, I think we should start diving into these topics, right? Because I think, have we? Yeah, it's about 20 minutes into the show here. So let's go ahead and start going into these topics. Let's start with the big one, shall we? Ciro the Hero has resubscribed for 7 months. That is the big biggest deal. Topic we will talk about today.
Great topic, great topic. Congratulations for 7 months.
It's almost a Twitch baby.
Yeah,
so
is,
everybody, get your baby names.
Congratulations ready. On your second trimester.
Dude, that's a big deal. Second trimester? Isn't that the
third
hardest
trimester,
one?
Actually.
The third trimester is the hardest?
Third trimester
I
is when you're about
to deliver. Difficult.
Second trimester is the most difficult one because that's when the baby bulge actually starts showing and mm-hmm. you start needing to get more sustenance for your child. Most people can usually tell you're pregnant and you can start feeling the baby move around inside of you.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I'll ever
experience it. You probably yep. won't. No.
I mean, look, the future is a mystery. Who knows, right? I'll be like Arnold Schwarzenegger in that one movie, which was weird. But anywho, let's start with the big topic of the day, as I think we're boring Sharpie. I'm kidding. You thought Grand Blue, which is one of the biggest games over there in the land of Asia, as far as money-making and popularity, Arxis getting their fingers on the pie that is Granblue and Gung Ho and making a video game about it. You thought that was good. Wait till you hear this. Dungeons and Fighters, which is the biggest money-making franchise in the world. Right? It's the world? I think I'm accurate in saying that.
I don't think it's the world. I think since it came out.
Okay. Well, anyway, Dungeons and Fighters, soaring in popularity, swimming in money, announced a fighting game that is being developed by who else other than Arc System Works. Here's a trailer.
Hey!
Fourth highest grossing video game franchise.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Now, it's hard to see a difference if you don't know the characters between other Arxis games and this when they show that gameplay.
Yeah, that's the thing that struck me the most. It looks like a reskinned Exord. Which...
I don't care. I don't... You know, honestly, here's my thing. This entire revival of fighting games... just even in general with like them taking the highest selling game or whatever and just reskinning it and making a new fighting game, I'm here for it. And here's why. We're going to be getting Project L soon. We're going to be getting DNF. We may even get a bunch more, like, you know, they already leaked the new Street Fighter. We have no clue when that's coming, but we know it's coming. Like, there is a very nice future down the line for fighting games, and there are going to be even more casuals in it than before. And these casuals will have been playing other games either like competitively or just excessively. You know what I mean? Like, they're hardcore players. People that played Dungeon Online were hardcore players. I have some friends that were like, yo, let's go. Like, you know, and they are ready now. They're practicing like Dragon Ball Fighters to get ready for these games. So I am incredibly excited. That whole revival that we saw with, I don't want to say revival, but that whole huge influx of players that we saw from Dragon Ball Fighters, it's going to be even bigger for Project L. It's going to be even bigger for DNF. It's really, really a big deal for me. I don't care necessarily how the game looks. I'm just excited for the prospect mm-hmm. of more people inside of our community, because that's kind of what we need right now.
Yep, I totally agree. Now, there are a couple of things that I want to point out before we go any further, right? And because these are pretty important things. Trailer's cool. The game looks beautiful, right? As we expect from an Arxis game. However, there's two things, that I think deserve a little bit of attention, because this is better news than I think people cared to hear about right now. Let's take a look at this. Now, the very end shot, there's this little logo in here. Do we know what this logo is?
I don't. Do you, Steve?
Not off the top of my head.
So I don't know the name of the logo or the company. However, I don't know if it's that crew or the other logo. Let me pull up the other logo. Sorry. It started playing for some reason on the back here. But, and this logo.
I think I know Neo people, though. I think I've heard of them.
So, I don't know which one it is, but one of those companies is responsible for the base game of Marvel 3.
DFO. Oh, I'm pretty sure.
Aiding is the they're the ones that made Tatsunoko versus Capcom 2.
Yeah. So that crew is responsible for the base game of Marvel 3, which is one of the, as people remember fondly, one of the better Marvel games out there. Depending on who you talk to. However, Marvel 3, exceedingly popular, right? Unfortunately, of course, we all know the story of Marvel Infinite and how it got snapped out of existence thanks to either Capcom or Marvel, whoever was responsible for it.
You mean Disney. It was Disney.
Disney.
We're just going to call it.
Yeah, for sure. But seeing that name pop up, if we get a game that has the gameplay of, or similar to, like, how good playing Marvel 3 felt with a new IP, I think this game's going to skyrocket, like, real quick.
That's a good point. And that really goes right in hand with exactly what I'm saying, is something that we saw with FighterZ. And this is, I know this is going to sound like me bashing Dragon Ball FighterZ, but I'm really not. Something that we saw with FighterZ was, even though the gameplay itself was considered unoptimal to most people that played Team Fighters, and even though, like, season one was considered kind of janky and Super Dash wasn't really, you know, easy to play against and online was not so great, a lot of people still really enjoyed the game because of the characters and because of the way that the game actually allowed them to interact. It was a lot of people's very first time and their first experience with a fighting game. Now, that means that there's always going to be a market as long as you have the right IP for a fighting game. As long as you have a very popular IP, people will always try it. And these people may be hooked to those exact same mechanics regardless of, like, how good or bad they are. So because we have a developing team that actually understands everything that goes into fighting games, has worked with a very, very, very distinguished, well-known, well-polished fighting game franchise, I think this is the recipe that we've been looking for in general. I think it's really like that, you know, chemical X, if you would, into what's going to blow everything up. Because this, honestly, combined with Project L, is going to make 2021 or 2022, whenever these games decide to come out, incredibly, incredibly fruitful for the fighting game community.
I agree. As long as they
have good netcode.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, as long as they have good netcode. Go on, Steve.
Yeah, netcode, of course.
Let me kind of ratchet expectations down a little bit, because we've had a very, you know, Granblue was supposed to do a lot of the same things, and it has done well, certainly, relatively speaking, sold about 500,000 units as of the end of last month, which is nothing to sneeze at, but it's not necessarily the sea change that some people might expect when you're bringing in a huge new genre. So I would, you know, there's certainly the possibility there that DNF Duel could bring in massive waves of new people into the FGC, but I wouldn't necessarily bet the farm on it.
I want to just take a moment to address that, because I think, Steve, while that is a very good point, what I would say is that you also have to remember Granblue was really, really banking on tournament time at Evo to expose them to an even larger audience. So a lot of people's projections for sales did reflect that. And when we lost a lot of our tournaments, we lost our number one way of marketing and advertising gameplay, which is incredibly, incredibly important for fighting games more so than any other game. Streams aren't really the same, and especially when the online netcode's not great, you know, you're not really going to have a fantastic experience. So while there have been online tournaments for it, it hasn't reached the same viewership that we would see typically inside of Evo. It wasn't covered by very large circuits. It wasn't covered by, you know, like ESPN. It wasn't covered by Dextro. It wasn't covered by, like, even, as much as I hate to say it, Kotaku.
So you said you were going to play Grand Blue instead of Skullgirls?
I was. When it first came out at Xanadu, I actually had such a fun time playing Grand Blue that I actually was considering dropping it for Skullgirls. Worst thing about it for me is just the netcode. So I know I wasn't alone in that box. I know there were a lot of players that were very excited for Grand Blue, but the online is such a turnoff that you just lose a large, I would say a third of the population of people that would have sunk amount of time into it. And that's nothing to sneeze at. So I would say that while it is fair to state that Grand Blue didn't do everything it was supposed to do as a very large IP, this was also a bit of an unfortunate year for new releases.
Well, let me counter that for a little bit. You know, obviously what happened with losing out on big tournaments, it hurt Grand Blue's launch. Obviously, my question is, are those tournaments going to be back when DNF Duel comes out? And if it's not, how are they going to get in front of that audience? How are they going to show an audience that largely isn't into fighting games? Say, hey, there's this new style of game with our characters that we would love for you to check out. Cool. Can I watch anybody play it? You can watch some randos on Twitch. No offense to Twitch streamers, but, you know, there's a difference between the level of play you'd see on a given stream versus the level of play you'd expect to see in the finals of a tournament.
Fantastic rebuttal here. And if I could retort, and Elon, you let us know if we're running out of time or something here and we have
Hold
to
on.
Move
I got
on.
An idea. I got an idea. I got yeah. an idea.
Well, we got timer? Are we bringing back
yeah,
the timer?
Yeah, we do. Go for it. We're back.
All
baby.
Right. So here's my thing. This is a fantastic point, but I would like to rebuttal with two games. The first game is actually Them's Fighting Herds, and the second game is actually going to be Street Fighter V. Both of these games were able to advertise inside of the games themselves. Them's Fighting Herds actually both advertised EVO Online as well as the Grand Stampede, which was the event that they had after EVO was online, had been canceled, and they saw a record number of attendees, a record number of participants, a record number for tournament entry in general, right? The second game that I would like to go ahead and mention here is Street Fighter V, which, as you all know, has been integrating, like we've been talking on the podcast, with different tournaments throughout the entirety of the season. While we've not been able to see any official numbers about how that has affected their success and how that has affected their concurrent gameplay, I can almost promise you that inside of a game like DFO or DNF, where you have integration inside of a specific launcher where millions of people see it every single day, and you have something saying, hey, there's this tournament on this date, and you have a notification saying, hey, there's this tournament in this date, people will watch. And that, I believe, is something that a majority of other fighting games did not have. Grand Blue doesn't have that. Grand Blue Versus is not on the phone. You can't play it similar to other Grand Blue games, right? It's not on the same type of platforms. It's not the same thing. Grand Blue did promote the tournament quite a bit, is what I'm seeing inside of chat here. And that's fair. That's totally fine. What I'm talking about is a different level of integration. I'm talking about the people that are actively playing on this one thing, like something that DFO has is dailies, which means every single day someone logs in to go accomplish different things. Maybe a daily is going to this stream and go watching at least 20 minutes of it. Maybe that just means you leave the stream up for 20 minutes. Maybe that means that you just register or something for it. In any case, you're doing a lot more than just seeing a notification about it. That level of engagement is not something we've seen inside of other games. In addition, this is something that Project L Wolf have because of the Riot launcher, which is being utilized for things like Clash inside of League of Legends. It's being utilized for different tournament notifications inside of what's it called, TFT and their card-based game. There are a lot of examples of companies that have actually created launch systems as well as like the Origin browser or the Steam notifications that have found a lot of success with that level of integration. And I think that is really going to be the game changer for making people aware. And finally, in some nation, I believe that while this quarantine was both horrible disaster, terrible in many ways, it was also very eye-opening to a lot of people that are developing games right now. And I believe that any games that we will see will very much so have amazing online due to necessity of these times. People are not going to see all of this and be like, well, okay, that just straight up killed this game, and this game. We don't need good netcode inside of our game. No, 100% they're not doing that. They're spending entirely too much time and money on this game to not address netcode in some capacity. I have absolutely no doubt in my mind that they will be addressing netcode.
I think the comparison here with Street Fighter V and them fighting herds is a bit apples to oranges.
Okay.
With fighting herds, obviously it's, you know, you have a fandom that isn't necessarily a fighting game first fandom, but it was a presence within the scene in some form for quite some time before it came out. You know, obviously with the origins as My Little Pony Fighting is Magic, the fighting game community followed along with the entire story of that game's development. So by the time the game actually launched, you had a sizable group of people who were already invested in fighting games. Street Fighter V, you have, obviously, in terms of tournament attendance, the biggest fighting game in, you know, at least... It was the clear number one then. Plus, when 5 launched, you had all of this momentum from Street Fighter 4 and everybody trying to get on fighting game esports in the ground floor. So you had a whole lot of invested people already, and finding ways to turn those into, you know, people who are watching Twitch streams, people who are watching tournaments. That, I feel, is a lot easier than this case where, by and large, fans of... DNF aren't going to necessarily be fans of fighting games, so making that conversion is going to be a hell of a lot harder. Those ideas, I think, are really, really good, and I hope to see them implemented in not just those titles, but other titles going forward, because I feel like that has been a huge missed opportunity for a lot of games. Getting that engagement, you know, pointing out something within the game, saying, hey, you like playing? Check out this other thing where other people are playing, you might like it. I feel that's been a drop ball. But it's still going to be a very hard conversion to get a whole bunch of people who aren't necessarily fighting game fans into this hardcore fighting game scene. So it's going to be a challenge.
I would like to add one extra point to this. And at least this is like my personal experience with Granblue, right? First of all, they nerfed La Diva, so that ruined the entire game for everybody. I know Sharpie.
It's better right, that way.
Kind of a grappler, but happy. You know, whatever. We'll sidestep this one. Sorry, I've been playing a lot of Tekken, so that was a Tekken pun in my brain. But what I would like to point out is there was like a couple of things that also happened with the Dragon Ball FighterZ game that I perceived that kind of turned me off to the game, and I think I could even chalk it up to being a, what do you call it, a knee-jerk reaction, but the simplified / auto combo system, I think I was just getting into a point where I was kind of disliking it too much, to the point where as soon as I saw that it had those systems where you can just mash X or mash A and you would get combos accordingly, that it kind of turned me off from the game, to be honest. And, I mean, I still played it a lot, and you could play it in whatever way you wanted, right? You could play while mashing those buttons, or you could play while trying to do links and all this other stuff. I don't know. I feel like having that simplified, quote-unquote, system kind of turned off a lot of people from the game as soon as they saw that that was a part of the game. Am I wrong?
See, I think that goes into part of this whole missed opportunity in terms of simplification, in terms of, you know, for a lot of people, execution is not a huge part of, you know, it's not something they want to invest a whole lot of time in. They don't want to do a complicated input to get the move they want out. So yes, but that's one of the ways where you can implement that in a wrong way, where you go way too far into the simplification thing. I've said this before and I'll say this again. I feel like the biggest thing that a lot of fighting games aren't doing isn't necessarily making things too complicated. It's not giving new players good tools to learn how to do those things. Because I feel like gamers will oftentimes, they'll be okay with learning some more complicated inputs. They'll be okay learning more complex things that you need to be successful while playing fighting games. But so many of the fighters on the market right now don't do a good job of teaching. So instead of focusing on developing those tools, they figure out, okay, let's remove DP inputs. Let's remove quarter circles. That will fix it. And then don't do anything else in terms of teaching players how to play. I feel like that is just such a wrong-headed approach. Mm-hmm. And that's getting in down a completely different avenue, so I apologize
for that. I think it was a good conversation point, though. I think we did touch on some really broad strokes about things that people inside the fighting game community do have issues with and are concerned about regarding the launch of these two new games, and I really just hope that developers have considered these points as they do affect members of people that will be playing their game, to be honest.
I think, so here, I just want to clarify where I'm coming from, personally, for how mm-hmm. I felt about that. I think Blaze Blue did it right. Not Blaze Blue Cross Tag, but Blaze Blue in general, where they have the stylish mode and then the manual mode, right? I think that's
a
beautiful...
Can you elaborate a little bit?
So Blaze Blue had the stylish mode where it was, you could mash a button, you could mash one or two buttons, and then you could do different combos based on that. And I think that's a great like stepping stone if you're not somebody who's into fighting games or into anime games in general, because that taught me a lot about like how combos work. And it's a great way of like separating the two, right? And I know it sucks that I'm saying like, oh, separate the people who don't do combos and the people who do combos or whatever, right? Like at the end of the day, that's bad if you look at it that way. But having that system where you have the stylish combos where it teaches you the game first and then shows you where you can go from there, I think is the correct way to go about things. And I think that kind of separation is what appealed to me a little bit, because then if by some chance I'm just like, you know, being me and mashing jab on my wake up, I'm not going to like get an auto combo instead of getting what I want to get.
I'm seeing in chat, it definitely does. It definitely does. I'm seeing in chat from Blue561 that stylish was banned for tournaments. So my assumption is that if someone had learned combos through stylish, they were essentially forced to learn it through manual before they entered a tournament. Does that track, Elon?
Well, here's the thing. I feel like if you're the type of person who's playing with stylish mode on, you're not going to be at a tournament for it.
Okay.
Right? I'm talking like the greater general.
There's always
like,
some.
Yeah, because here's the thing, right? At the end of the day, the fighting game community is about this compared to the great big beyond of the audience that people who play video games are, even
that's
in esports. Like for example, you know, we talked a little bit about Mortal Kombat. There's a billion people who bought Mortal Kombat that don't know what the FGC is or anything like that, right?
There are. That's true.
So having a way of getting those people started in a game, and then figuring out a way of being like, hey, there's also this other stuff. Right? Hey, are you ready for the real challenge? Do you want to play this game like the pros do or whatever? Right? Something like that. I don't know. I don't know.
It would just be enticing.
Yeah.
I like fighters, though, so I'm kind of biased. Like, I understand the obvious, the positive sides of what you're stating, and I understand Steve's points, not just regarding, obviously, the marketing and selling aspects, but also the general execution barriers that exist. I'm just one of those players. Like, I started with Smash. So for me, anything that allows someone to play the game, I think is a really good starting point. Because a lot of people made those exact same arguments about Melee players, saying they're not going to like fighting games, they're not going to like this because it's going to be too difficult with them. When in reality, they're willing to try. You just have to make it look appealing. Honestly, mm-hmm. And there are people like that inside of every single community, because I was one of them. Yep. So it's really, it's for me, it's just like, it's, I know that there is a market. That market may not be the largest market. It may not be the largest percent of all of the percents out there that make up these gamers, but I know that that specific percent is so ready and so hungry for any opportunity that if you just make it accessible to them and they get their hands on it, it'll blow up in ways that we aren't ready for.
I wish I could find the clip off the top of my head, but I remember, I think it was earlier this year, there was a tweet that Majin Obama put out, a clip of a, like a general game streamer, not necessarily a fighting game player, but she was getting into Guilty Gear. And there's a clip of her finding out, oh, if I, there goes swear jar, you know, May, I can hit people with dolphins. And she figured out how, you know, she figured out what the move is and like, okay, now I can hit people with dolphins. It was cool. They showed her how to hit people with dolphins. She enjoyed hitting people with dolphins. Yes. It's a two-pronged thing. You have to make the game appealing to those who are not necessarily fighting game fans visually. You have to make it appealing to do cool stuff. But you also have to give players the tools to learn how to do those cool things.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Overall, a really good discussion.
By the way, I apologize for walking off screen for a bit. There was someone knocking at the door. Turns out it was my cat.
Nice.
Not nice. My cat is banned.
New conversation topic. Are cats getting too strong?
Yes, cats? They are overpowered. Look at Jubei.
They're nimble. They are super nimble. They need to have their agility nerfed.
So I think, just to bring it back to the topic, because we have about 17 seconds here. I think essentially what this conversation boils down to is accessibility over difficulty. Right? Or, no, I'm sorry. Accessibility and difficulty working in tandem, not necessarily one over the other, right? Because it kind of feels like we've gone one way over the other. Am I incorrect?
No, I would agree
with that.
Okay.
Great summation. Really good point. I love that. That was a really good discussion. I really did enjoy that.
Good job, everybody. Last good discussion for the year, because it's all about to go down here from here. Okay, next topic on the docket. Let's talk about KI World Cup. We mentioned it.
Well, hold on. Are we doing the other Arxis reveal first?
Yeah. Is it a reveal? Yes.
Well, it's kind of.
We're covering the news here, Elon. We have a commitment to the people.
Well, look, they're doing the trailer on Thursday, not before the show that we can talk about, so I kind of just wanted to skip it. But
the trailer for what, Elon?
So, if you follow Arxis System Works on YouTube, you see that they have a video set to premiere on Thursday, January 1st. And it is a character that we already knew was coming out, because they teased them in the Giovanna trailer, and it's this guy, Anji. He's back, and this is all we have for now. We can just look at that thumbnail and then the countdown underneath it.
Because that, you know, is a handsome man, I have to say.
Yeah, it is. Man, it looks like a male dizzy to me.
A male dizzy.
Yeah. I like the color scheme. Oh, the little wings in the back. He has he has no shirt. You know what I mean? He's very...
Does Dizzy not have a shirt?
Dizzy is clothed, but it's the same color palette. And her dress is just very form-fitting. So I would imagine that to be the male version of her, basically, but more like himbo-fied.
Gotcha. Okay, so Never Knows Best say the more you look at his mouth, the weirder it gets. Oh my god, he's right.
It looks upside down for some reason.
It really does look upside down.
It actually does. Why did you say that?
Oh man, you can't unsee it.
That's the worst.
Oh, now Marquise Dador is pointing out the forehead.
That's just a bandana.
How big is that bandana got to be for the hair to still flop forward?
He's just got
my point.
Hair.
Yep. No. Imagine if you remove the bandana, what would it look like? How big is his actual head at this point?
A receding hairline.
How much hair does he have? Oh, honey, no.
That is not a receding hairline.
Yeah, and Steve's an expert. You set yourself up for that one. I wasn't even doing it. You set me up. I was set up. Chat. Thank you. I'm here all week, everybody. I'm here all week.
Jeez Louise.
That guy coughing always gets me.
I got roasted, toasted, and
shots fired. All right, are we a radio show yet?
Sorry.
I love it. It's quiche. Man.
Stevie Steve in the morning zoo. On KFGC.
Oh, KFGC, nice. Okay, well, is there anything else that we wanted to talk about? And so here's the thing. I played a lot of the Plus R when the Guilty Gear Plus R when the beta came out. And Anji's an interesting character. He has this butterfly fireball that goes really slow, and then when it hits somebody, it like goes up and down. It's pretty cool. And he's got lots of fans. He's got like a Rekka type of thing. So I'm interested to see how they do Anji in the new game. And a lot of people were super happy hearing Anji come back. So big ups to Anji. But we'll have to wait until Thursday because Arxis hates us and doesn't do things before Tuesday.
Yeah, I think most people were just excited because I think his reveal meant that Code Lyoko was finally coming out with new characters again. It's okay. You guys are too old to understand the reference. Code Lyoko was a French anime.
No, I watched Code Lyoko, okay? Let's relax a little bit.
I get it. I'm not laughing, but I get it. All right. By the way, I want to give a shout out to Blue, not for the first time and not for the last time this stream, because he went out and he found the clip I was talking about. He already posted it in the chat, but I'm going to link it there. It's on Giuna's YouTube channel, and it's a clip of Bunny Ayu learning Guilty Gear, and it's the clip I'm talking about. So give that a check when you get it. Chance. And I also want to give a shout out to Beaver for the win, who has subscribed for now 38 months in a row. We
3 years, really thank 2 months. That's crazy. Thank you so much. That's since 2017. That is October of 2017. That's crazy. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Beaver. Sorry, I almost accidentally exited out of the streaming software and it was like, are you sure you want to exit? Yes, no. And I was like, wait a minute, which one do I press?
This is our streamer, everybody. Woo. Professional.
That's what I'm talking about. You're talking about 2020 like it's a done deal. No, we've still got 35 minutes of show to go. We've still got 2 days and change to go.
We can ruin this at any time.
Absolutely. I don't think I've ever, like, even as a fighting game player, I don't think I've ever frozen so hard where it's like yes or no. It's like, oh God.
Speaking of 2020, I know this is not related to anything, but have you seen that new Match commercial? The series of Match commercials?
I don't watch television.
Yeah, I don't watch television either.
So it's this new ad campaign called Make 2021 Your Year. And it's about Satan using Match.com to find a partner by the name of 2020. And like they're going through their love montage, and it's like they're all alone in the movie theater. They're stealing toilet paper. It's great. I'll throw some of the links in the Discord chat.
It sounds very millennial heavy. You know what I mean? Like it feels like it was specifically catered to that sarcastic vibe that millennials love. And I'm here for advertisements finally catering to me instead of my mother. I'm here for that.
Welcome to being part of the prime demographic.
Oh, no.
You're the demo now. You're the demo now.
Wait, no. I take back everything I said before. I'm a Zoomer. TikTok.
Although, you know what's funny? I got swept up by TikTok. That place is weird.
It's a good app. You need to give it to me afterwards, Elon. But the one thing I would absolutely love to talk about that's not TikTok is Brandon Alexander in the KI World Cup. We have news on that, don't we, Elon?
At Ultraloop is my TikTok, by the way. But yes, we do. So we got some details on the KI World Cup for 2021.
At the Purple Sharpie is my TikTok. Follow me. I'm working on a web series. Thanks, everybody.
And we have lots of deets, including what the scoring system is going to be like, what are some of the events that are going to happen, and all this other fun stuff. So, and we did hear from Brandon Alexander a couple weeks ago when he first announced this, that this is all coming out of pocket with him and his business partner. They're all basically like starting this from the ground up. So it's amazing to A, have the KI World Cup come back in 2021, and B, the amount of work that they're putting into this is unbelievable. So big ups to those guys. Let's talk about KI World Cup. First, yeah. I want to talk about the scoring system. Or should we talk about the schedule?
Let's do the scoring system first.
Okay. Scoring system. Here it is. All right, let's talk about the schedule. No, I'm kidding.
So this is, once again, 32 players are going to make KI World Cup. I believe it is 26 who will make it in through the scoreboard. I forget off the top of my head, but you earn points for reaching top 16 at events. There are two categories. The big events are combo clashes, and then you have the other events. So you earn 1 point for making top 16 at a regular event, and it doubles every level you go up. So if you make it to top, tied for ninth, you get 2, 4, 8, all the way up to 128. Similar scaling at combo clashes, but it starts at 4 points for making top 16 and going all the way up to 512 points for the win at a combo clash. Also, if you win a combo clash, you are automatically qualified for the KI World Cup final. So very similar to some of the older scoring systems that the Capcom Pro Tour used. And we also learned about some of the first events to take place. The Q1 schedule, so January through March, has been revealed. It starts on January 7th with Cyberfights. Do we have that? Yes, we do. Okay. So Cyberfights kicks things off on the 7th. Then you have some reoccurring events, the Surf and Turf War for Australia and New Zealand players. You have Insurrection. You've got the Revival. All of that almost every weekend in January. Most weekends, or second half of February and the second half of March, you've got some events to look forward to. And then you've got the big ones, the combo clashes. The first one will take place on March 27th. And then you've got some it'll be pretty much quarterly from there. So June, September, fourth one is in November. And you've got the Japan exclusive combo clash on December 4th, leading up to the KI World Cup Finals on the 11th. So, a lot of events announced. Be on the lookout for more. I know that Nikki, I believe, was looking at putting some together. Very strong KI player. So,
Nikki definitely. FTC is a full-time streamer. Yeah.
Man, I can't wait for more KI. KI is good. KI is fun.
Man,
I should play more KI. I feel bad.
We should all play more KI. We should all play more KI. You heard that, Keats? I said the thing. I said the thing, Keats.
Send the paycheck over.
You know, I haven't thought about this. I actually upgraded my computer recently, so now I can actually play KI. Cause
what are we playing, Steve?
First to pizza. Oh my god. Okay, so I haven't played KI ever. I didn't have an Xbox, Xbox One. I didn't have a PC that can handle it until very recently. So it's going to take me a while to train up, but I will take that loss eventually.
Is your middle name Daffy?
I am not ducking.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
You're on the punchline.
Because when I talk AI, I ain't joking.
Okay. What's on? First to pizza.
First to pizza, eventually. Let me figure out my buttons, man. Let me figure out my buttons.
No, Finitude, that would be... So Finitude says first to Chicago deep... No, that would be first to casserole.
That's true. No. I'm tired of having a discussion on the stream. Our chat be wrong.
If you don't get it by now, then you're never going to get it. Just going to be like...
So first of all, no... on that. Chicago deep dish pizza is pizza.
It's a casserole.
Second of all, it's all about Detroit style pizza now that you bake in
I can't do this with Steve. I can't. I put it specifically in my contract that I was not going to have these pizza debates anymore, and y'all see how they do me? They wait literally 2 days before the end to violate my... I had a very specific contract. Elon, I'm going to be... You will hear from my lawyer. You will hear from them.
Now, here's the sitch with Detroit-style pizza. That is pizza. I will agree that Detroit-style pizza is pizza. It's still not as good as New York pizza. Nothing's as good as New York pizza. But, you know, see, that's okay.
See, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Sharpie. I didn't violate anything because there is no debate. I'm just stating facts. That's all that is.
How are you stating a fact when it's clearly an opinion? The only fact here is that it's a casserole when it's deep dish.
The best I can give that is alternative fact.
Since you're bringing up alternative,
I do want to ask, do we have any more regarding the KI World Tour that we want to discuss? Because otherwise, I see an opportunity to segue into our very next topic here.
Go play KI. I will play KI, and I will lose in KI. I will get bodied in KI. I will owe Elon a pizza because of KI. And I will send him a Chicago deep
casserole
dish pizza. Deep dish
casserole
pizza.
With this statement, pizza. I'd like to unfortunately interrupt this conversation to segue into our very next topic. Earlier this week on Twitter, our very own Steve Ace King off Sweet Yurik decided to post an absolute ridiculous statement on Twitter in which he requested that we give our absolute craziest, most insane fighting game takes before Christmas. Now, I myself waited until the day after Christmas. Oh, wait, was it the day before Christmas? Or was it actually Christmas? To state the only true fact of all the threads, which is that Final Fantasy Tactics was literally the worst game ever created. But we will go ahead and move on to the next couple of takes. First of which primarily is this disgusting, vile thing that Steve is calling deep dish when it's, in all seriousness, casserole. Steve?
Well, first of all, let me set the stage. Elon, do you want to take the Final Fantasy Tactics thing? Because I think you have strong opinions on this.
I've never played Final Fantasy Tactics. I thought you said this. I thought I was confusing Final Fantasy Tactics and Dissidia. I know. It's screwed up in my brain. However, Dissidia is a very fun game. I just want to say that.
Okay.
So.
And also, I apologize. That wasn't the take that I replied to you on, Steve, but it still rings all the same. It is literally the worst Final Fantasy series game. I believe my take was something more about content creators and people, you know, not uplifting content creators and saying that they want content but not actually supporting it, so on and so forth. Something like that.
So let me bring it back to my mindset. Because I hate being the news. I hate, you know, I like talking about the news. I like talking about the community. I hate being the news because I'm not all that interesting. And yet I spoke this madness into the universe. You know, I was kind of feeling off that day. I needed to read something that, you know, could pick me up, something I could either laugh at or, you know, like nod my head and say, yeah, I see where you're coming from with that. So I asked for people's hottest fighting game takes they had. I got 2,000 responses.
Mm-hmm. We're going to go through all of them right now. I'm kidding.
That is not an exaggeration. I got about 500 direct replies and about 1,500 quote tweets. And Blue in the chat, this man is trying to sort them all into some sort of usable spreadsheet. I don't have the link off queued up, but if you have that, it's in our Discord. He posted it in our Discord. If you've got that, Blue, go ahead and throw that in the chat. But yeah, that is a massive undertaking. I've learned some things in this process. One, you should probably shut off notifications at some point. Mm-hmm. Because I never did, and I regret that.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, most of y'all don't know what a hot take is. Most mm-hmm. of you came in with opinions that are strong, but reasonable. Or you acknowledge that you're in the minority. Those aren't true hot takes. A hot take is something that you think is absolutely right, and you are dead ass cannot see how someone can disagree with you. If I come up and say deep dish pizza is the best pizza on the planet.
Oh, stop it. I got it.
Why did you know, use the
that's
opportunity?
My opinion.
That's why we don't spotlight Steve.
That's my opinion, but I could see how someone could disagree. If Alon talking about there's nothing better than a New York slice, that starts to get into hot take territory. What are you going to do with that?
Corkscrew right in the eye.
Why am I not on this hot take database? Did I not give a hot take? I feel like I gave a hot take.
But I
said something like, make me lose friends.
But, okay. Then there was the third thing that I actually learned going through some of these responses. And that if you ask 100 people what's holding back the FGC, you will get 100 different responses that will take you in 100 different directions. It's everything from, you know, some people talked about games, some people talked about accessibility, and, you know, opposite sides. I saw some people talking about how games should get rid of complex inputs just to, you know, as sort of a, as an entry point, as a barrier to entry. And I've seen some people talk about how they should make inputs, at least leave them as complex as they are, if not make them more complex, because that's part of the fun for them in fighting games. I've seen people talking about how we should be more inclusive. Different ways we can be more inclusive. I've seen people talk going in the other direction. I've seen things all across. So the entire point of
Manhattan.
The entire point was not to bring negativity into the world. It was to, you know, get some new perspectives on some things. It just blew up in a way that I did not expect to get 2,000 responses to that.
Welcome to social media, my friend.
That's like not even my schedules got blown up like that. Like,
yeah, welcome to posting, Steve.
Yep. So the lesson learned here is every time you post a schedule, you post that question.
I gotta change it up now. So, like, what should be my next post? I'm asking you.
Honestly, you should ask people to make a tier list of waifus inside of a certain game.
That's Justin's domain. Tier list. That's
gimmick
infringement.
No.
That is gimmick infringement. He's got that on lock. I am not encroaching on his space.
What's
last I checked, like... there was not a copyright on Farm and Impressions, Steve. You asked me a question and I answered it.
There's may not be copyright, but there's professional courtesy. Justin has worked for years to carve out his niche in terms of terrible tier lists.
Okay. Now hold
on random things.
I would like to provide a counterpoint, and I'm going to Twitter to double check this. When was the last time Justin posted a tier list?
Oh no! Don't do this! Don't come on!
I'm scrolling.
I've been so happy lately.
I'm scrolling. Still scrolling.
Remember when Punk posted that tier list of friends?
That was really funny.
That was the point at which I was like, I would be okay never seeing another tier list December again for the rest 17th. Of my life. Oh god.
Yeah, it's only been less than 2 weeks.
Yep. Well,
offense, because Justin's definitely the homie, and I love that man. Like, I very much so respect him. But if I ever get to the point where I am required to do something like consistently one format of post, like a tier list for the rest of my life in order to farm impressions, please someone shoot me in the head. Like, if I ever get close to that point, just let me know. If y'all see me tweeting for the 17th time that day, play Skullgirls, just be like, yo, Sharpie, is everything okay at home? I will appreciate it. You know, because that's a cry for help. I can't. People that just have the one note content for impressions, it kills me. I don't get it. I really don't. I could never. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It kills me.
Also, that tier list was posted on the 15th, and as public domain states, things that are 100 years old. So things that are in the 1920s are
which is part the rate of public domain. That's the rate at which things age in 2020. Every day in 2020 is worth 17 and 1991, which everyone knows was worth like 45 in the year 2000.
So as of today, it has been roughly 2 weeks since he posted. Mm-hmm. And since it's 2 weeks, 1920, public domain.
Yep.
That's some real Steiner math on that. That is some real Steiner math on that. I'm not sure that holds up here.
Doesn't need to hold up here. Just needs to hold up in a court of law.
Because domain has 12 letters.
Turning it law.
It does not hold up because Kurt Angle has not been added to the mix.
I just cracked my knee. I don't know if you heard that or not.
Congratulations. Okay, let me ask you this. What is your FGC hottest take right now?
Mine?
Yeah.
Or Elon, do you want to start and then we go both from
Trippy, you can go start. First. I need to
really?
I need to rack my brain a little bit before I say things.
Okay. My FGC hot tape is that console gaming is actually inadequate for the future of the fighting game community. And if we as a community want to grow, we should start moving to the PC platform sooner rather than later. And I mean literally yesterday. That is my hot take.
Okay.
Mine is, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think Project Dell is going to be nearly as successful as everybody thinks it is.
Holy Steve!
I think it's going to do okay for a while, and then, yeah, just sort of be like the weird stepchild that no one talks to. I'm sorry. Sorry.
It might not be a hot y'all take because everybody in the chat agrees.
You want to talk?
Can I say
you
want to talk about? I tweeted.
Go for it.
Okay, the hot take that I tweeted. Be careful. Was
no, I'm kidding. It's hot take time. Go for it.
Okay. Name names. Okay. I was stressed for a second.
No, I'm kidding.
You stressed me out. I was like, oh no. The fighting game community has amazing content creators inside of it, but they're gatekept by people who are terrified of losing relevancy. Which is to say that there are a lot of content creators that could. That could excel and help us get to the next level of the golden age, but there are too many people that poo-poo them just because they don't do well in tournament, just because they're not a big name brand, or just because they don't personally like the fact that this person may eclipse them.
Hold on, I'm gonna sneeze. Amazing.
Bless you.
Oh God.
Salute.
Bless you.
I mean that as he was gatekept.
Yeah, from I understood. Just want to
put that extremely clear. All right. My hot take, Marvel Infinite was a fun game, and I would like it to be back, please.
I don't think that's a hot take. I don't think that's a hot take at all. I think that's just true. I think the reality is the largest vocal minority got their way because everybody was willing to meme on it for the point of views instead of actually addressing the fact that it was a good game and giving it a fair chance. That's what I think.
I don't think it was more a meme. I think it was just that, you know, as successful as Marvel, as Infinite the video or the fighting game was, it was an absolute failure as a video game. In terms of what was included, in terms of the graphics, in terms of the characters, there are a lot of things aside from the gameplay that Infinite struggled with. I think that's what really held it down. Because even if the gameplay was, you know, you'll have your opinion on the gameplay. Even if they aced that, everything else made it feel like they weren't putting the effort into there. And if people that a game is lazy, that the effort isn't being put in, they're going to let you know.
I will say this, MVCI finally got me to play a versus game. And learn more than one character. Because I can only learn one character and get good at just one character. But that game kind of finally forced me to learn more than one character. And I had a blast with it. And I'm sad it's dead. So Rip Rooney and Pepperoni's Marvel Infinite. I miss it. Maybe I should play Marvel Infinite tonight. Nah, I'm going to go play KI.
All right. Can we stop talking about hot takes and talk about bettering ourselves?
Can we talk about hot drinks? People.
Okay.
Can we talk about one thing before we talk about hot drinks real quick?
Sure.
So, if I could receive the spotlight for un momento, Elon, there was something that I did want to shout out in general. As a lot of people know, I am one of the co-founders of Combo Queens. The other co-founders are Carolyn the Mama Dow Dow, as well as Emily, otherwise known as Jamillion. And we've actually started a series where we've been highlighting women, femme, and non-binary people in general inside of the fighting game community. And today, we did one of our very first spotlights. We actually spotlighted Persia XO. Persia is a longtime gamer, streamer, commentator, video host. She video hosts for GameSpot as well as a few other companies, and she's currently the founder, as many people inside the fighting game community know, of the XO Academy, which helps to empower women inside of the community, not just players, but also commentators and even content creators, and helps them find their place inside the community by speaking with official members of the community that are inside of those avenues, right? You can watch her streams on twitch.tv/Persia_XO. And I would just really love it if you all gave her some love. And congratulations again to Persia for being the highlighted Combo Queens person of the week. Congratulations.
Yeah. We've actually had her on the show before.
Mm-hmm.
She was a fun last year. Too. Yeah. So thank you for that. All right. Hot drinks.
Okay.
I'm not just saying that because I got a Reese's peanut butter coffee cup for Christmas.
Did you really?
So while Steve is getting his Reese's peanut butter coffee cup, I don't know if you guys have seen. There it is.
That's actually really cool.
I don't know if you guys have seen.
I don't even drink coffee, but I like this. I'm gonna drink some stuff just because of this cup right here.
I don't know if you guys have seen the recent resurgence of 1980s Wendy's training videos, but one of them has to do with hot drinks. And here's the song. It might be our new theme song.
No.
I like it.
I am putting my veto power on it.
Wendy's coffee tastes so fine.
My roommate.
Hot drinks, yeah.
We always serve it right away.
Oh, this this is nice. Steve, why do you hate good things? That's all I want to know.
My roommate used to work at Wendy's, and that song terrorizes them. But
they still use it today? There's no way they still use it today.
I don't know if they still use it today. They used it for a very long time. Much longer than they should have.
Dude, go watch the music video, and you will see why they used it for a long time. They spent a lot of money on that thing.
See, the one that haunts me is...
Why does it sound like the Barge wrote it?
I work at this place where, like, the lifting training video was in the form of a stand-up comedian talking, you know, doing humor about your back. It was as entertaining as it sounded, which was not at all. But that's still randomly haunting.
But I love that level of humor. I love that quiche, super terrible, horrible British humor that it's not funny, but it is. That personally. I love terrible things like that.
It was completely earnest. They thought they were doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like tongue-in-cheek at all.
That's what sells it. That's why I like it, because it's literally so bad. It's literally so bad that it's good. It's like the Terminator 2.
I do not remember which company did it, by the way, Solidaro, but someone did.
Oh, are we not still giving hot takes?
What I was going to say is my favorite part about it is you know that it's a bunch of like old white people in a boardroom being like, add a smile and have a nice day. Oh, that's beautiful. You're a lyricist. And then like they actually present it to people and people are like, all right, this is fucking awful.
You're so out of touch. I just wanted a freaking Whopper. Wait, not a Whopper. What do they call them? Baconators? Yeah.
I have no idea. I have not had fast food in like ages at this point.
We eat healthy.
Epochs. Anyway, I think it's time for us to get to our final topic of the year and of the show and of the show for the year. Not of the show, but of the today's show. I don't know. Did I just announce something I didn't want to announce? I'm kidding. No, we're still here. I'm here until everybody decides that I shouldn't be here. But, Steve, you wanted to talk about that old tradition of creating New Year's resolutions.
It's the tradition that will not go away. And I feel like, I don't know if it should or it shouldn't, but It's something we're doing because it's the end of the year and it's almost obligatory. So we're doing it. We're doing it, my friends. This is the last show of 2020. So, you know, we're 2 days away from New Year's Eve, which means we're 2 days away from making New Year's resolutions, the promises to ourselves that we're going to be better people, that we're going to eat healthier, we're going to exercise, we're actually going to read, we're actually going to read the articles that we share on Twitter, and then we'll do that for like 2 days and then give up. Well, most of us do, because we are weak. We are very weak-minded people.
This okay, went Steve. Dark. Then you start. Then why don't you start, Steve? What is...
That got really dark, Steve. I don't know where you're
sorry.
Going with that.
Hey, but I will say this. Where's the lie? Am I right?
Oh, true. No.
So,
oh, it's been all right, a shitty
Steve,
year.
You start. What are your resolutions for the year of the 2021?
I feel like I have to do a better job of taking time for myself, because
this is me applauding, by the way.
Yeah, you know, this is I have a full-time job. I have a secondary job with Juked on top of that. I have the podcast. I also have other responsibilities, and I've had a couple points in the year where I just reached a point where I was like, I can't take this anymore. And I'm the type of person that I don't like saying no to taking on new responsibilities. I don't like, I always feel like if I do, then I'm letting people down. So I have to be more cognizant of what my limits are, what I can do. I would and reminding myself that it's better to do three things well than five things half-assed.
That's a good one. That's definitely a good one. I vibes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yep. All right. So whenever somebody else comes up to you on January 1st being like, Steve, make me a schedule, you're going to say no.
As you should, Steve.
Probably not.
As you should.
No, I'm like itching to make a schedule. Like the last one I did, I did a couple of online tournament ones, but like I think one of the last five I did was the marble racing one for April Fool's Day.
Yeah,
it's been a long time. Yeah,
we also forgot to keep placing pizza bets on those sad times.
It's okay.
Sad times.
Be like that.
But no, I sympathize with that a lot, and I empathize with it a lot because I'm the same way. I hate saying no because I feel like people will hate me if I do. So I think it's time for us to put ourselves in front of what we think of other people think of us. So I agree. I agree with your resolution.
I'm literally on the show because Steve and Elon couldn't say no to me, and I exploited that. So
yep,
I understand why it's it's an important resolution for you, Steve.
Yep. All right, Sherpy, what's your 2021 resolution?
Do I only have one, or can I list like the four or five that I have?
Give us the top five.
Okay, top five. So the first one is every year I set a bunch of social media goals. This year I did reach literally all of my Twitter goals, Instagram goals, TikTok goals, Twitch goals, and YouTube goals. I would like to get to the point where I am actually able to, I'd like to get 20,000 followers. Well, not 20,000, but 15,000 followers on Twitter by the end of next year. The other thing that I would like to do is I would like to actually come out with a feature length film regarding specifically the fighting game community, specifically competitive gaming as it exists inside of the fighting game community, either self-published or through some other production team. And I'd also very, very much so like to get my entire makeup situation figured out. I just started doing makeup earlier, about a month and a half ago. I'm getting pretty good at it, but I'd like to get to the point where I'm confident enough to actually do it within 30 minutes and go to events. That's just a personal goal for me. The fourth one is I'd like to relearn the guitar because I stopped playing about 5 years ago, and it really bothered me. I realized I had a lot of time in quarantine, and I still haven't picked it up. So that is something that I am actively trying to do right now. And the fifth goal is that I would actually like to personally take someone in the fighting game community as my protege, and I'd like for them to accompany me throughout the remainder of the projects that I work on throughout the rest of the year. And that's really my goals for 2021. Thank you.
Protege, huh? You're gonna have apprentice Sharpie?
There are a lot of people inside of the community, I think, that have been looking in general for direction, and I've been giving a lot of help to a lot of people that ask me, but I think it's about time, especially with the rate at which I've been expanding in general and with where I see myself specifically in 5 years, I think it's about time that I actually focus on just one person. And I focus on giving them literally all the tools that I received from start to ending. And I just have to figure out who I want that to be and who is ready to receive that information and if they want that information. So that's really important to me in general. I think it's really important to the longevity of the community that people in positions of power find someone that they can entrust to pass the mantle on to. And I think it's getting to that point in time for me personally to just find someone that I can feel comfortable passing the mantle on to and start focusing on things that I would like to pursue.
Word. Those are extremely good goals. So
thank you. As an aside, someone in chat says I could be a beast on the guitar. I did actually self-teach myself guitar. I could play a lot of guitar songs. I could play Eric Clapton, Rodrigo y Gabriel. I could play Santana. I play guitar. Like, I played violin professionally for 17 years. So my whole thing is I just stopped and I haven't picked it back up, and I would like to force myself to pick it back up.
Word. It is 7:30, so that will be the end of our show.
No, no, Elon, no, you didn't do yours.
No, 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 no.
Anyway, there's one for the swear jar. All right, fine. My resolution is to not have a resolution, and here's why. I made three New Year's resolutions in the beginning of 2020, and they were that I was going to focus on acting, right? Because I do acting on the side. Well, did. Now I no longer do that. But I did some acting on the side, and I had a lot of fun with it, so I was going to really, like, dive into that. I was going to travel again for fighting games. I booked my hotels and flights for Combo Breaker and everything. And I was going to... Hold on, before I say this, I have to double check on something. Okay, good. Efren's not here anymore. I was going to deprioritize my day gig, right? Because right now I'm, like, super prioritizing my day gig where I'm like, I have to do everything for them, blah, 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 blah. But it's getting to the point where I have to deprioritize that and prioritize me and the things I really want to do instead of just serving a faceless corporation that, quite frankly, doesn't serve me well. So those are my three resolutions. And then the world ended. So I will save the world this time around by not having any.
Okay, Elon, you can get away with it this time around, but I won't accept that next year. Just know that.
Yep.
And also, speaking of acting and actors, everyone should check out my latest version of Training Partners. I've come out with chapters. I have a new format that I'm coming out with. It'll be up on my YouTube, youtube.sharpypls.com, later this Thursday. But basically, the second episode is the very first episode with a remote actor. Banjo plays Banjo, and I believe he did a fantastic job. I think it's actually relatively funny. And if you're looking for something to close out your 2020, instead of posting it on Friday, I'm going ahead and posting it a day early so that we can officially get two whole episodes this 2020 to continue in 2021. Thank you so much again for your support, everybody. It means a lot, and I really appreciate it. You can follow me, tiktok.com/@thepurplesharpie is where I've been posting all of them, and I'm also on Instagram uploading them every single time I have something new to upload. So definitely check it out. Thank you so much again for your support.
No, thank you for doing some hard work and getting things done in the fighting game community. You know, it's always good to see cool new content. However, what were you going to say, Steve?
I was going to say, you know, to everyone who's here, thank you.
Yep.
You know, it's been one hell of a year. I don't think we're going to be forgetting this anytime soon, but the fact that we've been able to achieve some sort of normalcy in some small way. No. No.
This is going to be our sign off for the year, Steve. No, this is going to be our sign off for the year. Keep going. Thank the viewers.
The fact that we're able to do this and, you know, bring entertainment to people in some way or another, we hope we've put a smile on your face or made you think about something in a new way or, you know, at least distracted you for 90 minutes a week. You know, being in chat, being here. Subscribing to us, giving us any support you can. We really do appreciate it. We thank you for everything you've done in 2020, and we hope to continue doing more and better in 2021.
For sure. And for the final time in this, the year of 2020, my name is Elon. This is my social media information. This is the Steve, the Ace King, the Offsuit, the Main Squeeze, the Jurek. Follow his information over there at Ace King Offsuit. And the lovely... the Purple Sharpie, joining us for this year and for hopefully many more years to come. This has been Best of Five, everybody. We'll catch you in 2021.
Thank you.
Remember, every real podcaster has the sign-off phrase.
All right, no, hold on. We're staying on. We need to listen to the rest of this.
Hot drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god.